I'm Susan Young. This is the Pacifica National Board
recording in progress.
Regular session, and it is June 4th. We're starting at 8:30. 2 minutes late is good, better than usual. And will the secretary please take the roll?
Indeed. Teresa Allen. All right, I'll keep going. I think Teresa has not been hearing us, so it'd be good if somebody texted her to make sure she realizes we're ready to go.
I'll call her.
Thank you. Kaja Brown. Donna Carter.
Here.
Thank you, Donna. Fred Dodsworth. Jerome Edge. Sally Gellert.
Here.
Thank you, Sally. Jan Goodman.
Fred Dodsworth is here.
Fred is here. Thank you, Fred. Jan Goodman. Julie Hewitt, I am here. Avelia Jones. Zach Caldvier. Keep going. Sean Kelly McPherson. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Yep.
Thank you, Darlene. Ron Pinchbeck.
One of these days, I'm going to learn the school lunch is not the best.
Fred, I think you might be the person we can still hear. Myla Reason.
I'm here.
Thank you, Myla. Sheree Roberts. James Sagerton. Minerva Sanders.
Present.
Thank you, Minerva. Harvey Wasserman. Dennis Williams.
Here.
Thank you, Dennis.
Can you hear me now? Oh, sorry. That's
Zach Caldvier, right?
My audio is not working. Okay.
Got you. I can hear you now. Thank you. Okay. And I've got you marked as present. Let me just say Harvey Wasserman. Oh, I got Dennis. Okay. Michael Woodson.
Here.
Thank you, Michael. Susan Young.
Here.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Let me go back up the top again. Teresa Allen.
Hi. I'm sorry. I didn't have my earbuds in.
Ah. Gotcha, Teresa. Thank you. Kaja Brown.
President.
Thank you, Kaja. Jerome Edge.
Here.
Thank you, Jerome. Jan Goodman.
Here.
Thank you, Jan. Avelia Jones. Sean Kelly McPherson. Ron Pinchbeck. Serene Roberts. James Sagerton. Harvey Wasserman. A bunch of people missing, but in any event, Madam Chair, we have 15 present, so we do have quorum.
Excellent. I'm writing, I'm just taking quick note of who is here and who is not. All right. Also, those who are also with us, Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Aki Tanaka is the recording secretary.
I'm here.
And we have not listed her as timekeeper, but Darlene, are you willing to serve that highly valued function?
I'm all set up.
Excellent. Okay, preliminary items. We've had the call to order. We've had the roll call. There is no report out from May 7th because there was no executive session. Excused absences. I don't think we have had any requested, though a number of people are at least at this moment are absent. Agenda approval for the open portion of the agenda, 5 minutes. Minutes approval for April 7th and 2nd and May 7th meetings. Committee reports, 20 minutes. Audit, then finance, then governance, then personnel. Affiliates report. Executive director report. Unfinished business, new business. Motion to adjourn, time no later than 9:45. Is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none. We will go forward. Minutes for April 2 and May 7th. Are there any corrections, additions, or changes to the April 2 minutes? Hearing none. I see, Serene, would you like to say that you're here? Jan already did speak. Myla, we already got Jan. Serene?
Yeah, I'd like to abstain on those minutes. I haven't had a chance.
Okay, and will you acknowledge that you're here?
Those are the ones she sent up while I'm speaking. Isn't that an acknowledgement that I'm here?
No, it's not.
So anyway, no crosstalk.
Why are you speaking,
okay, be
Fred?
Quiet. Both. Both of you, be quiet. So, Serene, you want to be listed as abstaining. Got it. Are there any changes to the May 7th meeting minutes? I assume, Serene, you want to be listed as abstaining.
Those are the ones we got today? Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go forward with the committee reports, starting with Minerva.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, audit committee. The on May the 11th, the executive director did present her information to everyone, and the audit committee did give a presentation. They identified the approach they would use in looking at the information we provided to them, and went very slowly and carefully through the information so that we all understood what we were taking on here. Their desire is to have the audit complete for all of the years through
2022 and 2023.
Okay. And they are working on those now, and they hope to have all of the audits completed by July of 2026. Am I correct, Susan, or did I get that
wrong? Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And they did have questions from the committee, and they were very responsive in addressing those, and they agree to work with us, and we'll work with them closely as needed. Meetings will be called by the audit committee as needed, but right now we are going through the steps. Thank you. Any questions, anyone?
So I see that Serene's got a hand up. Let me just note that the presentation by the auditor, the slideshow by the auditor, has been included in the executive director's report at the end of it. Serene.
So I thought they said that the first 2 years would be finished by July, and the other 2 years would be finished by October, November.
And so that's what I corrected Minerva and said 2022 and 2023, this by July.
Right. Thank you, Susan. And Serene, you're correct. She did say that. I'm sorry.
Serene, I don't know what you're arguing about. All of that has been answered. Are there any other questions for the audit committee? Hearing none, finance committee.
Yeah, the finance committee is happy to have met, and we asked for and have received a comprehensive balance sheet for the network. We're really hoping that in the near future, we'll be able to get those balance sheets for each individual division of the organization, each station, for example, so that we can see whether or not they are doing what we had agreed upon when we approved their budgets. Hopefully in the future, we'll get that. Thank you.
Any questions for Fred? Okay. And when you review those financials, I believe it'll be an open session. Is that correct?
That's my expectation.
And after that meeting, perhaps the finance committee can authorize to send those financials out to the PNB.
If that's required, I assume Stephanie would be able to do that, but if there's some hesitation, I'd be happy to forward them as well.
Okay.
They were sent to everybody on the National Finance Committee, so
I didn't see any
confidentiality statements with the document.
Okay. Governance Committee.
All right. The governance was May 21st, the third Thursday of May. One of the big deal things that we did was we passed a motion, which is reported in the appendix, so that it, you know, could be forwarded to the PNDB. This motion is about setting up basically a consistent fee waivership process. Hang on, across the stations.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you having trouble hearing me?
I'm having a great deal of trouble understanding what you're saying.
Yes, you're interrupting. You're going in and out.
So that's why I just took my video off. Has it gotten better now that I took my video off?
It certainly has.
Has not?
Has. It has gotten better.
Oh, has. Okay. Because I can try to call in, but it'll take me a minute. Do you want to talk about and then just switch the order of the two, and then by then I'll have called in so that there's definitely no problem with my phone?
Sure. Without objection, the Personnel Committee met on June 1. It had two purposes. One was to advance the effort with the executive director to develop or to bolster HR policies and procedures. And the Personnel Committee is a resource to the executive director. She gave us a very thorough briefing about some of the first steps, which are to develop evaluation procedures for paid staff, union and non-union. Volunteers will be on another track in the future. She will provide materials to the committee as they are developed and is happy for our feedback. We also had an executive session in which we reviewed the question about terminology for paid staff and volunteer team members. That was an executive session because legal matters are attendant to it. Are there questions about the Personnel Committee meeting? Hearing none. As soon as we get Julie back. There we go. Hello. We have had, by the way, I think somebody else arrive. 4-7.
I believe that's
me.
That's Julie, isn't it?
Okay, got it.
James is here as well.
Okay, thank you, James.
Okay.
We're getting some echo.
Wait a minute.
We need everybody to go on mute who is not speaking, please.
No, it was just me. It was just me. Yeah, and I think I just made it go away. Okay. So back to the Governance Committee report. So, and thank you. I have James Sagerton noted as present. Governance Committee report. So we passed a motion that's in the appendix, and the motion sets up a membership waiver procedure. So for listener members who either are unable to donate $25 in the course of a year, or
so they're also enabled to do the second thing, which is to volunteer for 3 hours over the course of a year. And those 3 hours are not, don't count as things like serving on committees. It's doing things that support the station. So it's volunteering under the aegis of an approved by management. So if you can't do one of those two things, there's the ability in our bylaws, both previous bylaws and the current bylaws, to apply for a membership fee waiver. And because in the past there have been either a lack of setups by some of the LSBs for this fee waiver, or some inconsistencies across stations, what the governance committee did was pass the motion that, you know, kind of sets up a process, especially as we're headed into an election for Pacifica, set up a waiver process. And so that's what this motion is about. So without further ado, I'll read the motion that the governance committee passed. Whereas Article 3, Section 4 of the Pacifica bylaws authorizes the board of directors, in its discretion to adjust or waive the listener sponsor membership contribution requirement on a case-by-case basis for reasons of financial hardship, and whereas the board seeks to administer waiver requests in an orderly, fair, and consistent manner, therefore be it resolved that, one, all membership waiver applications must be submitted by applicants by email to the PNB secretary, that's secretary@pacifica.org, with the subject line waiver request before the record date for membership in years when an election or referendum is held. Two, in 2026, the PNB chair and PNB secretary will designate one director from each station subject to their acceptance to serve with the PNB chair and PNB secretary to approve no more than, oops, I just found a spot, no more than 5 waivers per station based on order of submission and grounds for the request. Three, the board will grant no more than 5 membership waivers for each of the Pacifica radio stations per voting session. Four, adoption of this policy does not create any right, entitlement, or expectation that a waiver will be granted. So that's the motion. And then one of the things that we also did, and I'm going to share my screen in just a second, to display the file that I also attached to the email about this meeting. Hang on. With the waiver, it's basically a form for the waiver request. Here it is. Okay. So I'm going to share the screen. Let me think. Here we go. So this is what the form looks like. I'll try and blow it up just a little bit. Basically, in the form, you just say which station you're applying to. You fill in your name, the date of submission, your email address, your phone number, your address. You request the reason for the, or you check all boxes that apply for the region reason for your request. Briefly explain why you're unable to meet either of the two limits, and your interest in becoming a member of the Pacific Foundation and your connection to your chosen radio station, and then basically you sign the form. So it's really a pretty simple, straightforward form. And at any rate, that's the you know, kind of process. What I'm trying to do is make as many versions of this form as I can in ways that people can, you know, really quite easily submit them. We'll see how well that goes. But anyway, that's the motion as motivated, and it does not require a second. So we have a motion on the floor.
And I'll just emphasize that it's 5, the limit is 5, the initial thing that people had looked at was 3, and the committee agreed to amend it to 5. So 5 is the correct number. Dennis, then, and let me also note, Sean, have you joined us?
I have. Sorry, I'm late.
Absolutely. So we have 3 people on the list, Dennis, then Serene, then Sally.
Okay, I have 2 questions. First, how did you arrive at the number 5? And second, how will listener members be made aware of the process?
I can answer part of that. I was part of the committee. The number 5 is because the instances in which someone can neither volunteer nor give $25 are small. And so, you know, giving stronger guidelines about that and a way for people to clearly request a waiver, we can be in a better position to understand why a waiver is merited. If the PNB adopts this, the GMs and membership folks will be informed immediately. The bylaws provide for a waiver opportunity. And so we basically wait for somebody to say, I need a waiver. I can neither volunteer nor give money. Okay. Others on the, Julie, was that okay?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we, you know, had a little bit of debate. Should the number be 3 or 5? And we just went with 5 because it's bigger, but no one argued that it should be anything other than a, you know, kind of a smallish number like that. And no one could say that it's, you know, been a super huge problem in any of the units in the past.
Serene, then Sally, then Dennis again. Serene. Serene, the chair recognizes you. Do you wish to speak? Okay,
yeah,
Sally, go ahead.
Dennis, I'm sorry. Can you not hear me?
No. So, Sally, you go ahead. We'll go to Dennis. We'll come back to Serene. Sally.
Yeah. I appreciate the form and the uniform method. I question whether we need a specific number. And I want to know what opportunities there are for remote volunteering for folks who, you know, are either housebound or, you know, otherwise unable to get to a station, for instance. Check.
So some of the things that, I mean, we have prisoners who do volunteering. Teresa can address this. They listen to programs and give feedback. We have identified opportunities for that. And I think especially program evaluation can be a very valuable way because these people are listening to the radio, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm wondering, was any thought given to having the request be sent initially to the local station management to be forwarded to the PNB? Since people are listeners of the local station, that would be sort of the point of identification.
The bylaws identify this as a responsibility of the PNB.
I understand. I'm just talking about it as a conduit for the process.
Julie, would there be, I think what
yes.
We do is people submit it to the secretary because it is a PNB responsibility and the secretary can inform the GM PDs at the stations from which the requests are coming.
I understand. I'm just saying that from the listener's point of view, would it make more sense to have not for the local management to have any role other than to be the conduit for, if I'm the listener member of X station, to submit my request to the management of the station I want to be a member of and have them just pass that through to the PNB secretary as opposed to me sending it to
somebody. Okay, so let me just say, Julie, would you please respond to that? And also, that would be a motion to amend if we go through that conversation. Let me just say that I experienced the GMs and PDs as having a lot to say grace over. And right now we are in a fund drive at KPFT. And I'm just simply trying to work with them on things pertaining to the election. And they reply to me, I've just been in for 14 hours and blah, blah, blah. So I worry about things getting lost. And we're already in the middle of the election.
Yeah, I appreciate that the GMs will definitely be, you know, just being local, be someone that, you know, listeners are probably more familiar with them, you know, because most GMs probably wind up doing spots on the air for different things and helping with fund drives, et cetera. So yes, but, you know, maybe what would be a good idea would be, you know, particularly if it's about listener member comfort, having it sent to both email addresses at the same time. And then that way, you know, the secretary gets it, you know, kind of more timely without necessarily, you know, relying on GMs to have to forward stuff. I mean, I think it's about, we want to make sure that people don't feel, any sense of, you know, they want that they have a sense of localness in this, even though, you know, it's going to be this bigger committee that you know, reviews the applications and grants the waivers.
So I think that what may be in order is a motion to amend that says that the applications submitted by email to the PNB secretary and the station GM?
Yes.
With the subject line waiver request?
Yes.
All right. Is there any objection to that amendment?
Yes.
Okay, Darlene, what's the objection?
It is onerous. If the address of where you send your request for waiver is on every website, it hardly matters where it goes, and you shouldn't have to do it twice so that perhaps there is a sense of locality. So I object to making it harder for people to get through the waiver process. Thanks.
So I think the additional piece of that, Darlene, is that the opportunity to request a waiver is included on websites.
Well, I would imagine that if it's an option that we have, whether it is around elections or not, it only seems to come up in the PNB when there's an election before us. But it's just part of what's on the membership page on the website. If you need a waiver, blah. There you go.
So there is a motion and an objection. Could I see a rough show of hands? Who favors the motion to double submit to the GMs and the Pacifica secretary, and who favors not? I'm sorry, Julie, let's go ahead and do a count. Sorry.
No, I mean, you could do the show of hands. You just can't do them both at the same time.
Okay. All right, show of hands. You want to have it go to the GMs and the Pacifica secretary. Raise your hands.
I don't have the ability, or I don't know how on the phone, but I'm a no.
You're a no. Okay. So we seem to have four yeses. And so that is not enough to pass the amendment.
I withdraw.
Okay, got it. Okay, other questions? As we've said, there is not a there's not a need for a second. James.
Yeah, I was just wondering what standards will be applied. I guess it's going to be obviously on a case-by-case basis, and perhaps this is something that will evolve over time. But I would hope there would be some standards. You know, are we going to ask people for medical records? Are we going to take them at their word for things? And in addition to that, I think that I'll just, you know, I guess it's too late to make this argument, but I think that some people are more, and this is part of the reason why many of us support local, local governance, is that people feel comfortable reaching out to someone at their local station, which is the station that they listen to and that they know something about. So I think it's a good idea to have a route to come through the local station somehow. And I also finally want to know, you know, it seems like the secretary and the chair are going to be doing this. What will the checks and balances be on making sure that the decisions that are made are not partisan?
Okay, so there's a committee that will review these this year, and that committee will be the secretary and the chair, and a representative named by the secretary and the chair from each station. And what I suggest, we're doing this because we're in an election period. So that's why it's come up today. This is something that I believe the PNB should have addressed long ago, because it's been hit or miss. It has not been applied evenly at all stations. So I think we've been remiss. But we wanted to get this done while it is still the membership period of time for this election. I hope that when this committee works and reviews waiver requests, that it will come forward with recommendations about, you know, do we have the right criteria? I think that the listener member waiver application form is pretty clear. And yes, I think we're not going to hire investigators to figure out whether what they've said is true. So, are there further, do we need to take a vote, or are we okay to pass this as is?
I'm on the stack.
So, Serene, your hand was up before for a long time, and now it's not. So, Serene?
Okay, so a few things. One is that this requires that the person have email. There's no provision for having it on the air, saying that listeners should somehow know that there is a waiver process in the bylaws is misleading on a number of fronts. One is that it is only a PNB responsibility as of those settlement bylaws.
No, it isn't. It was on in the bylaws before. Exact same in the bylaws before, Serene.
Susan, you do not have the floor. Waivers have always been an LSB responsibility.
I beg your pardon, you're wrong.
It became a PNB responsibility.
You're wrong.
Not only are you interrupting me, which is rude, but you are wrong.
The member is argumentative.
So go ahead and complete your statement, but I will say it was the PNB before. The LSBs have done it, but they should not.
It is very clear. The bylaw language is there for everyone to see. You haven't been able to disappear.
I know. I wish you would read it.
So it has always been. It has always been an LSB responsibility. It became the PNB took it over in April with their so-called settlement bylaws. More to come, and did absolutely nothing. Telling people you can send an email that they should somehow know when most delegates don't even know, but
Speaker,
that members should somehow know. Members should, considering all the interruptions and the number of times that the chair jumped in, really?
Yes, I have a stopwatch.
So, and then I'm happy for you and your staff.
In light of my interruptions, go ahead and complete your statement, Serene.
Additionally, so we're starting a process on June 4th. There's no plan for getting it on the air. There's no plan for people who don't have email access. How people are supposed to get in an application, be judged by who knows what standard. We have about 25,000 members. You guys want to give all of 25 possible waivers, completely arbitrary numbers. I mean, why bother?
Well, thank you, Serene. We're going to take the vote now. Julie.
Of course you will.
I was just going to point out that, you know, we do, as directors, have a fiduciary responsibility to the foundation. And I appreciate having more members, but I would like to see members, the baseline be the expectation that members donate money. And when they can't donate money, that they donate time. And we're doing this waiver because we recognize that there is a small percentage of people who are in the category where they can do neither. And we're accommodating for that. And at the end of this, we'll know whether people had difficulty with the process or not. We can revise it for the future. But, you know, okay. Do I need to take a vote?
Yes, go ahead and take a vote.
Please take a vote.
Okay. If you're for the motion. Governance Committee motion, no, if you're against it. Teresa Allen.
Yes,
I'll keep going. Kadja Brown.
I support
Teresa. Okay. Thank you. Teresa's a yes. Kadja Brown?
Yes.
Kadja's a yes. Donna Carter?
Pass.
Donna passes. Fred Dodsworth?
Is a yes.
Fred's a yes. Jerome Edge?
Yes.
Jerome is a yes. Sally Gellert?
Passes.
Sally passes. Jan, yes. Jan is a yes. Julie Hewitt, I'm a yes. Adelia Jones, not here yet. Zach Caldier?
Yes.
Zach is a yes. Sean Kelly McPherson?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Sean's a yes. Darlene Pagano?
Yes.
Darlene's a yes. Ron Pinchback, still not here. Myla Reason?
I support it.
Myla's a yes. Serene Roberts?
An insult and a joke.
That's a not vote. James Sagerton.
No, it's
a Serene.
The member
Serene,
is out of order.
Serene, if you keep interrupting the meeting, you will be put in the waiting room. Okay, James.
I'm on James.
No.
James is a no. Hang on. Minerva Sanders. I'll keep going. Harvey Wasserman's not here. Dennis Williams.
No.
Dennis is a no. Michael Woodson.
Yes.
Michael is a yes. Susan, let me go back up. Sorry, Susan. Let me go back. Donna Carter, you passed?
No.
Donna's a no. Sally Gellert, you passed?
No.
Sally is a no.
Minerva.
Minerva. Thank you.
That's a yes. Sorry.
Minerva is a yes. Madam Chair, the yeses were 12 and the noes were 4.
So the motion passes. Is that the end of the Governance Committee report?
It is. I'll just note that we also had a brief discussion as in teed it up for the future, but we're contemplating putting together a motion with some penalties in case people would take on activities that interfere with the audit. So just so that, you know, something that the penalties are known up front, just as a way to kind of have us all be on the same page about what could possibly happen if anyone interfered with the audit. But that depends on us being able to articulate, you know, reasonable consequences. Thanks.
Madam Chair, we're only 5 minutes behind our agenda time. Very good.
I would like to hear from the affiliates, Jerome or Kaja, who wishes to speak.
It's up to you, Kaja.
Go ahead, Jerome.
Sorry guys, I wasn't expecting this so fast. I'm kind of in the car. Let me pull over real quick. Because reading and driving probably is not the best decision. I'm about to pull over right now, and I'll get that report for you. Give me 2 seconds. Okay.
Thank you. We appreciate it. And Ursula did send us you all did send us the report. We appreciate having both the written report and you speaking to it so people who are on the stream can hear it.
Absolutely. I know both Kaja and I had mentioned that and the importance of just really keeping. Okay, I'm parked and I'm pulling up the report right now. Sorry to hold up progress. Come on. No rush or anything, right?
No, we're okay.
Okay, affiliate report. Okay. Everybody still there?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Did Jerome mute himself?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so from Pacific Affiliate Network Units, June 1st. 2026 finances, projected total revenue from 2026 fees, affiliate and IT service fees, $236,731. Revenue received from fiscal year 26 affiliate fees and internet technology services subscriptions, May, $20,760. April, $6,683. March, $9,803. February, $24,695. January, $20,460. December, $26,630. November, $37,505. Received year to date, fiscal year 2026, affiliate revenue and IT services, $151,071 or 64% of projected 2026 revenue. Most affiliates pay on a quarterly basis. Collection of past due fees from fiscal year 2025 and prior years has increased to $10,272. Approximately $4,000 in outstanding affiliate fees from fiscal years 2025 and before remains to be collected. Efforts continue to collect these fees. The network unit has received donations of nearly $9,000 fiscal year to date. Sales of Pacifica t-shirts fiscal year to date, approximately $300. Current bank balance, $63,000. New affiliations, 5 new affiliates that have been added since the beginning of fiscal year 2026 and 1 new subscriber to the network IT services. Pacifica Caster. The store for this podcast hosting website has been completed, the last significant part of phase 1 for this website. We are testing the site and will invite early adapters to use it. Pacifica Network News for live network coverage of May Day. Manager Ursula Rudenberg and affiliate network consultant Jeannie Hopper assumed the role of co-executive production with WBAI's Robert Hanley, Covers included interviews and roundtables and movement leaders, representatives of unions such as the American Federation of Teachers, Southern Service Workers, Iowa and North Carolina Teachers Union, and many others to discuss current issues such as education, government corruption, healthcare, and services for workers. Historians were recorded and provided by WPFW, the Pacifica Radio Archive. Archives provided a new review of audio from past May Day demonstrations. All the sister stations in the affiliate network contributed content and reporters to the covers except KPFT. We got street reports from Washington, D.C., New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Portland, New Orleans, and Asheville. Hosts were Jenna Flanagan in New York and Norman Stockwell in Madison, Wisconsin. Although we discussed technical problems with distribution, we established a successful, repeatable production model with exciting diversity of locations, sounds, and voices. Having already established daily headlines, live special coverage was the next step in developing our menu of network news offerings. For the future, we aspire to add efficient coverage of breaking news, special feature series, investigative or documentary, etc., and long-form newscasts. PacificaNetwork.org. We are experiencing instabilities in our website, which also causes us to lose our database. We are currently looking for a more stable database platform and website improvement. And that's it.
Such a comprehensive report. I mean, what exciting things in all dimensions. Are there questions for Jerome or for Kaja?
I have a question.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Jerome and Kaja, what do you think is the most exciting development that you have felt or experienced in the last year?
Jerome, Kaja.
And I guess my second question is that my second and another question would be, what would you like to see the affiliates accomplish?
Okay, why don't each of you, if you feel like it, Jerome?
Well, Kaja, if you want to start, it's cool. If not, I can speak to that.
Oh, okay, Kaja.
Jerome, you're doing fine.
Man, most recently, I've been having some conversations with the affiliate network about possible content production. And, no disrespect to my elders on the panel, but, with this changing digital world that we have, there's a lot of ways to communicate that are a lot different. And I've been sharing some examples with the affiliate network as of our last meeting, even of some of the type of content that I do for social based media. I've got reporting pieces that I do that are like 5 to 10 minutes long on like social media, like TikTok, Facebook. Like, you know, I have like segments where, you know, I report on stuff going on in the community. With announcements, and it's really vibrant and youthful. And so I think one of the things that are really cool is the AOA, I think they're kind of, the wheels are kind of turning and thinking about, you know, like different ways we can do outreach just aside from just our traditional terrestrial radio or the simple Facebook post that has no, like, you know, it's just a post with text that people don't engage with. I think another thing that's been really cool that's been exciting about the affiliates network is there's a lot of untapped energy. And like one thing that I'm excited to see come together, hopefully, is we can do a little bit better in the way of communication. I mean, amongst our several hundred stations. I mean, like I've, you know, with certain events going on around the country over the year, I've received recommendations like, you know, hey, give so-and-so a contact at this station or at this station and, you know, get on the ground information of like, hey, what's up? You know, what's going on outside your window right now? And I'm really excited to see more of a connectivity because, I mean, we're a sizable network and we have a lot of potential. And I'm just with the affiliates network, I'm just really excited in the way of, you know, hoping that the connectivity continues and that, you know, we continue to utilize each other as specific affiliates.
Clearly, Jerome, you and Kaja and the affiliates are a huge resource. Kaja, do you have anything to add?
Tonight.
Okay. Serene and Fred.
All right, Kaja.
You've got it, Jerome. Serene?
So, Jerome, I've been trying to find out who is in the Association of Affiliates. I know we've seen a list of, I don't know, I think it's five stations where the people have officer positions. But what stations comprise the Association of Affiliates? And I'm interested in this because in the settlement, the New Day settlement bylaws,
I object.
Association.
So let me just ask, Jerome?
Yeah.
Are you prepared to answer that question?
One thing I would recommend is definitely sending an email to Ursula or Joan, because as a member, I'm a member of the affiliate network as I am a member of the PNB network. And I'm not for the PNB board, and I'm not like the keeper of documentation and information. So I can only give you bits and pieces of information that I know about the AOA, but either Joan or Ursula would be more appropriate individuals for that question.
Great. So Serene, follow up with Ursula. Fred.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Jerome, to start with. I think that our affiliates are one of the crown jewels of our particular organization. And I know that you have been working, the affiliates have been working with those stations here in the body of the U.S. that are trying to put together a national program. And I would love to see you more stuff coming from the affiliates because we only cover five cities and you guys cover the entire continent. What do you want from the PNB that we can give you to help you grow?
You know, I think with the AOA, I think really some of the conversations that are coming out are really in their infancy, to be honest. At this time, I personally can't really think of like a specific request or something specific that I'd probably personally approach the PNB asking for some assistance to get off the ground. Maybe just some, because like, I think as things progress, you're gonna see some difference in the way of connectivity and information with the AOA. And that's the one thing I'd say to really look out for. And, you know, as the ball gets rolling, you know, maybe we'll have more to provide in the way of something concrete and solid that, you know, we can say, hey, you know, this is what we got going on. You know, let's brainstorm and see how we can all support this together.
To add to that, I would just also say that one of the things we can do as a PNB is to make sure that we are investing in and supporting the affiliates network because they are doing amazing work, Ursula and her team, but they are not, from my conversations with Ursula, they don't always get the financial resources that they need. For instance, Public Radio Exchange just launched a competing service to Pacificaster. So we need to make sure that we're investing in Pacifica's version of that, which allows producers and stations to distribute podcasts and possibly monetize the podcasts.
I love that idea.
Things like that.
Okay, yeah. Not recognized. Excellent. We now go to the ED report, but Stephanie, would you comment on what it is that Kaja brought up? We're not.
Yes, a lot of those resources, like because we are in close contact and communication with Ursula, and she's very active as far as connecting with everybody within the organization. But Pacificaster, the national office, for example, has absorbed the costs that are associated with that. The liaisons that are working with the five main stations and the affiliates to do all the national coverage, the national office is covering the costs for that salary. Whenever we're doing and paying any stringers that are doing the stringers from the affiliates have been just absolutely amazing. When we do the national coverage of things, we're paying the costs of those individuals as well. We are actively looking to work on updating and rebuilding, our audio port. And so that the rebuilding of audio port, we've been in discussions with that for quite some time. And, Otis is very active and enthusiastic as well to try to get that updated. That's going to cost us close to $200,000 to $250,000. So we have what we need to do. But we've, as I said, been taking those costs away from the affiliates because these are services that are providing services to the entire network. So the affiliates had been absorbing the costs of these things just out of kindness, or it had just kind of been thrown in their laps to do. And so it was, it's been great to be able to have Ursula be comfortable to say, this isn't, can you help us with this? And then the more we look at it, it's like, yes, this is something that is servicing the entire network and the national office should be picking up the tab. The same with any sort of new service. We don't do AP wire, but we do PSN. And so we pick up the tabs for that as well. So every single dollar that comes in, with donations and such, we do spread that out as needed to the stations and particularly the affiliates. And they've been working as well, getting certain donations just to them. And I've worked with Ursula to get grants as well, just for the affiliate network. But it's a great, it's an amazing network. And we are tapping into them as much as possible, all the stations, to provide us with stories and eyes and ears on the ground when we're doing things.
Thank you.
You're muted, Susan.
You're muted, Susan.
Oopsie doodle. Kaja, did you have something you wanted to add?
I just had a quick question for Stephanie. What are we doing, or what can maybe I and Jerome help to do to promote Pacificaster in particular? Because, PRX is very, very aggressive with promoting their version of that to stations. In fact, my station is going to test it out, but I don't think we've even been offered the option to test out Pacificaster. And I'm not trying to bring this up to create, friction and stuff. I'm just saying that it seems like our version is worth, testing out, but it just seems like we haven't done much with it. That's all.
Very much so. I think it took some time for the storefront aspect of it to be finalized and completed. And then we just really need to do a marketing blitz, which is, even if it's a email, out there to all the affiliates saying, this is what we have, this is what we can offer. Having links to it from our stations, letting our programmers know about it. A lot of our programmers also, I think, in talking with a lot of the program directors and even meeting with other programmers as well, is that trying to encourage our programmers to get their stories, their programs, their voices out across the country rather than just in their own neighborhood. I know that there are certain programs that are specific just to that city, but there's such an opportunity for our programmers through AudioPort and Pacificaster to get their word out there. And then it becomes, then it becomes word of mouth as they start saying, this is a great service. But we do need a marketing blitz and an announcement of when Pacificaster goes live and send out press releases and such regarding that. So, we can meet offline to try to figure out a marketing plan.
So, Stephanie, I know you've got a lot in the report tonight, especially about the election. Do you want to get to the executive director report? I know you forwarded the written to everybody, and I forwarded it to LSBs.
Yeah, so I won't go through all of it, but because people do have it, but I'll just highlight the things that we want people to be able to hear that are listening to the feed. But our election nomination period officially opened up as scheduled on June 1st. And to announce the opening of the nominations, we sent out multiple communications, a total of 26,575 email notifications and 26,812 text message notifications were distributed to our listener members and our staff members throughout the entire network. As of the date of the ED report, which was written late last night, there were 5,469 people who have opened the email or their text, but they haven't responded to it. And so far we have had 153 people respond by turning in their nomination forms. One of the things that it also did is that with the 26,000 emails, the 26,000 text messages that were sent out, we had 123 individuals unsubscribe from, they did not want to receive any election related communications. And then we also had 111 messages that were returned for having both an invalid email address and phone number. If somebody had just an invalid email address, but their number was okay, they got the text message and vice versa. So what we are doing with anything that is returned to us, of course, is that we send that information back to the stations and then the membership departments can go through and try to send out a letter, postcard, something to get that information updated. If anybody has any questions at this point or regarding the elections, they are always free to contact Anya Lovest, who is our National Election Supervisor, and her email is NES, which stands for National Election Supervisor, NES@Pacifica.org. And they can also go to the Pacifica Foundation election website, which is elections.pacifica.org.
Okay, I see hands up. Serene, then Mala, then Teresa.
Well, my hand was up to ask about the time that the affiliate report was sent to us. I couldn't find it.
I'll forward it to you again. Mala?
Thank you. Stephanie, do you know Donna? We're getting noise from Donna. Do you know how have you been tracking? Just a second. There's a lot of noise. I'm muting someone else. Have you been tracking how many of the volunteer team, the team volunteers, and the paid staff have actually signed the Fair Campaign Pledge, or I'm not exactly sure what it's called. But it seems like there was a snafu, and it was recently created, and I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of the fact of the ground rules that we're now, I believe, in election season at Pacifica.
I have been copied on emails that have been sent out by general managers and program directors to people to sign that. So I have seen those emails go through because I'm copied on them, but the actual number of people that have signed them, that would be information that would, that the National Election Supervisor would have after getting the information from the general managers and the program directors.
Thank you.
Teresa?
Yes. Stephanie, when the 100+ people said that they did not want to receive any election-related things, did you take that to mean that they did not want to vote and did not want to receive any paperwork to be educated in order to cast a vote? And if so, does them sending us something, say, saying that they don't want to receive anything, is that going to affect quorum in any way?
I don't have any understanding as to why someone asks to be unsubscribed from an email list. Mm-hmm. So whatever follow-up is done with them would be up to those 123 individuals would be broken down again by station, returned to the program directors and the membership departments. It wouldn't be staff, so it would be the membership departments to reach out to those individuals. but I don't know why people don't want to be, you know, I don't know why somebody would unsubscribe from something. So it's.
So seems like if they say they don't want to receive any emails and we send them some sort of link in order for them to vote, but they say they don't want any election things. I guess we as a board maybe need to think about a decision about how we're going to decide whether those people are going to vote moving forward. Are they saying, when they say they don't want that, are they saying they don't want to receive an application or the paperwork in order to vote? Just wondered.
I have this happen all the time. May I respond? I'm later in the lineup.
Darlene, you're letting me know that you're in the line.
Well, I wanted to respond to Teresa from my own experience of getting so many of those texts.
Okay. So, let me put you at the end of the stack. Let's keep going through the stack. James.
Thank you, Cher. I saw some email exchanges of people wondering what certain emails that they were getting were about and who they were from. I think there's a lot of people expecting to see things from Pacifica, and I think some things were coming from something called Election Buddy. They had an address that people didn't recognize. Will there be some PSAs on the air or some other, and maybe there already are, I don't know, but will there be ways to try and let the membership know what cover to expect these things to arrive under?
We do have PSAs on the air letting people know that the election is happening. Election Buddy has provided services to Pacifica for three elections now, possibly even four. That's not an excuse because there's, I'm sure, new people that are part of it. But, I will add that or talk to the National Election Supervisor to add that to the list.
Thanks.
Okay, I've got myself on the stack next, and it's, I think everybody on the board needs to familiarize themselves with the whole website, certainly with the bylaws and with the fair campaign provisions. They apply starting in June, and anyone who might be running or might be influencing people who are running needs to be sure that they don't run afoul of those.
One of the things too is I just pulled up my emails that I received also from, you know, regarding the election is that yes, it says Pacifica@electionbuddy.com, but the from is actually Pacifica Foundation Inc. So if you click on that, it'll show that it's Pacifica@electionbuddy.com, but the from in my text messages and the from in my emails all say Pacifica Foundation Inc. Nominate now, Pacifica Foundation Inc. So, but I'll still make note of that, James.
Fred, then Jerome, then Darlene.
As someone who regularly donates during election periods, I have currently be getting somewhere around 100 plus emails a day and another 100 plus texts a day. And I've, as of late, taken to just telling everybody to stop. And I sure hope that I haven't cut off the people I care about here at the Pacifica Network. How do I also have a filed to run? And I assume that I filled out the form correctly. How do I find out if I remember signing the agreement not to, you know, be a bad person, but I don't know if it actually, when I'm dealing with computers, I really never know if it actually goes through. Will we receive notification that we have filled this out or that it's lacking something?
Yes. Yes. And again, any sort of questions that you may have or need clarification, just reach out to Anya via phone or nes@pacifica.org, even texting her at her number as well. And she's been great from what I've heard so far of responding to people very quickly. And she does you know, she has no problem talking to people on the phone and walking them through things.
Excellent. Thank you.
Jerome.
Be appropriate for this question, but I thought I had is, I mean, when somebody unsubscribes, does that mean they're going into the email, they see who it's from, and they go, nope, don't send me that?
Correct. There would be something on the bottom, just like any other email, that says unsubscribe me, or some phones, like my phone, if something pops up and I don't want it, right at the very top bar, it says unsubscribe, and then I don't have to scroll down to the bottom. But again, even the people that unsubscribe, we are giving those numbers of those individuals' names back to the stations so the membership departments can reach out to them.
What I was going to say, I mean, would it be possible to have because the problem I know is that we don't know who's just like the hell with voting or what, like, would it be a possibility to maybe have like a disclosure included that basically states, hey, listen, you know, this is what you're unsubscribing to. So we would know if, in fact, you know, somebody, if they hit that button, like that's exactly what they mean.
I am sure that can be added to the form. I will bring that up with the NES.
Yeah, because I mean, if they're literally specifically having to go into the email and they know what they're reading and what they're dealing with, like, I mean, yeah, I mean, at least we could maybe know, you know, okay, they don't want to do it and that's why they're doing it. That was just my thought.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a valid point because we, as much as we would love to have all 26,000 members vote, we do not.
So Darlene, then Myla.
I was just going to go back to what Teresa was saying. I didn't receive an email like that, but I received, like Fred, dozens of them because I'm registered as a Democratic Party member. But what happens is at the end of those email, it says, do you want to continue receiving these emails? And it's either Y or N, yes or no. And then they immediately send a response that says, okay, you're not going to get any more of these. But it doesn't mean I no longer belong to the Democratic Party because I said I don't want to receive more of this particular series of email that you're sending out. So, but again, I didn't receive what some people are referring to, so I can't say what the structure was of the reply for the email.
Okay.
And right now at the bottom of the email, it says, if you have any questions, feedback, or want to be removed from future ballot lists, please email Pacifica Foundation Inc. at, and then it gives the email address, or you can unsubscribe from any further emails about this election. So that's the statement on the bottom of the email. But yet again, just because they've unsubscribed doesn't mean that we know everyone who has unsubscribed. So we get that list of 123 people, just like we have the 111 people who were bounced back because we didn't have a valid email address and didn't have a valid phone. And they are contacted directly by the membership department. You know, are you sure you want to unsubscribe? The elections are very important. Your voice matters, that kind of thing.
Okay. I think Myla has her hand up. Julie had her hand up, and I'd like to note that Harvey... Harvey's arrived. Harvey, please say hi.
Aloha.
Okie dokie.
That's what my hand was about.
Okay, good. Myla.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I'm looking right now at the candidates page for this election cycle, and I'm wondering, first of all, who has organized it, because I think that it's set up in a way that doesn't clearly reflect the candidates for the national board. It looks like only the board, the candidates for board officers is listed under PNB candidates when, in fact, there are people who are running, for example, as staff representatives who will be on the national board, and other staff representatives who will be on the local boards. and the staff representatives for the national board are listed as not under the initial PNB candidate section of the website, and I'm just wondering why that is. And
so, Stephanie, could you address? It's my understanding is that the candidate listing has some refinements needed in terms of how people are shown as what they have registered for. Stephanie?
Correct. And if things are unclear and, you know, when you look at the website and it's not clear, write it down, send an email, text, or call the National Election Supervisor, and they will make those changes because we want to make sure that everything is as clear as possible.
Great. Thank you.
Madam Chair, sorry to interrupt. We have just gone over time certain.
So I would like to complete the stack and then accept, and then we can adjourn because we've gone past the time certain. James?
Thank you. I wanted to ask, and I don't want to mention any names, but I did see a general manager on the list of candidates. I believe it was for the chair of the board and for one of the local station director positions. Is that, first of all, I know you're only supposed to register for one, and I guess you can't stop people from nominating you, but is management allowed to participate as candidates in this election? I didn't think.
No, no, not at all. Not at all. There were also program directors that were nominated for the vice president. We had another general manager that had been nominated for something. This is not coming from the staff at all. If somebody writes Mickey Mouse in the nomination form, it will automatically be put in as a nominator. And then, I mean, as someone who has been nominated, then it is the National Election Supervisor's job, as with any of the candidates that are nominated, to go in and make sure that they check their that they're valid, that they can run, and then at that point they will be removed. I believe that the staff position people have been removed, but again, I'm not part of that process. But again, Mickey Mouse may show up tomorrow. We can't prohibit somebody from writing something down. Yeah, right. But staff is not, they are not allowed to run. If I could just
continue, there was another half of the question, and that was, yeah. I see some names of people who haven't been around for quite some time also showing up as nominees, but they would have to accept a nomination and put themselves, you know, up as candidates. So that a lot of that will disappear by the 30th or maybe sooner as well.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. That's why we have that space, you know, between so that the validation process can take place. But yeah, we're not going to, again, once that name is written, it's on there, because we also have people that are misspelling other people's names. And so all of that has to be fixed as well. So I know that there has been conversations with Election Buddy on how we can go in and, well, not we, but how the National Election Supervisor can go in and fix any misspellings, let the person know that nominated somebody that misspelled their name, that they've misspelled their name, to make sure that was the person that they actually wanted to nominate. That's why we have this outside third party Election Buddy that is doing that.
And is the plan to clear that after the 30th of June, in the period between then and the validation period?
I think with the staff members, that's going to be cleared up pretty quickly, because it was just as confusing for 6 or 7 staff members that had been nominated. Right. My phone started blowing up, sort of saying, what the hell? So people either love me or they hate me. So
Thank you.
The people that were nominated, they're like, who would do this? But yeah, so yeah, it's not, you know, again, we can't prohibit or stop somebody from who they want to nominate.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Let me just, as a last word, say, the National Election Supervisor has done a remarkable job. This is new software, new ballots, many new procedures. It's the same time periods as have been in the bylaws before. But what the ballots look like, what the nominations look like, it's had to be built from the ground floor up. So, the NES accepts comments about what things do not appear to be correct. And they are doing a great job, in my mind, of getting this all rolled out. Okay. I don't think we need a motion to adjourn.
Can I just say one thing real fast, just because I want to get this out there with the staff directory? And I know I wrote this in the report already, but I think this is important just to let anybody hear that's listening. To date, we've had 84 staff members and 954 volunteer team members that have all registered with our team directory. It's doing what we hoped and wanted it to do. And between January and June, we have our volunteer team members have recorded a total of 37,525 volunteer hours, which just shows the strength and the power of our volunteer programmers and how important it is that we keep track of those hours, that we thank our volunteer for those hours, because if it wasn't for our volunteer programmers, Pacifica would be nowhere. So that's just amazing. 37,525 volunteer hours, and divided that by 954 volunteers, roughly give or take, that's about 37 hours per person that they're working each month. So this is our working total. So this is great news. With that, I'm done.
Great, great reports. I will accept Teresa. Teresa, you're muted.
Motion to adjourn.
I know we're short on time, so I had a question for Stephanie. Should I just ask her these questions outside of the meeting?
Why don't you follow up after? Okay. Because, I accept the motion to adjourn because we are past time certain. So the time is 9:54, and we are adjourned.
Great. Great meeting. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks.